we're here with Marjid Heath, the producer of Dark Place, which has its Australian premiere, world premiere, at the Sydney Film Festival. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
First of all, Dark Place. Can you tell us, what is it? What is it all about?
So Dark Place is five wickedly twisted tales from the next generation of Aboriginal writer-directors, all looking at the post-colonial Aboriginal experience through the horror genre.
How did you go about compiling this? Because I've never heard of a film with anything close to this description.
It was kind of a two-year process, actually, and it came about initially through an initiative that ABC's Indigenous Department, Screen Australia's Indigenous Department, and AFTA's Indigenous Unit all came together to challenge, I guess, the next generation of Aboriginal filmmakers to tell their stories in the horror genre. So that was the initial idea. It was more of a development kind of initiative to see what would come out of that, and the initial development happened with Cameron and Colin Cairns, who are our two executive producers, and that was an initial workshop about 2 years ago. And from there, the group of writer-directors were kind of whittled down to the five that are in the actual end anthology.
Now, you tell five very different stories here. Can you tell us a little bit about some different approaches that the filmmakers went for in Dark Place?
Sure. So in the anthology, the first cap off the rank is A Scout by Cody Bedford. Now, Cody has taken a very interesting look at the role of Aboriginal women in Australian society and kind of given her protagonist, Scout, the tools to go about getting revenge. So Cody has done a remarkable job, and this is her first time directing. She's written for quite a number of high-profile Australian television dramas like Mystery Road, and so now she's kind of stepping behind the camera to do some directing. So that's Scout. So the second film in the anthology is Fauve by Liam Phillips. And that's Liam's a young filmmaker from Melbourne who has is looking at intergenerational trauma in a very, very interesting way and looking at how a young woman with insomnia deals with the death of her mother. It's really creepy and unnerving, and I think it's actually quite a masterclass in how you use sound in cinema, to be quite honest. He and Jed Palmer, who's our composer across all of the anthology, have done a remarkable job on the score, and Nigel Christensen, who was our sound designer, has done a remarkable job as well. So it's a phenomenally sounding film, Fauve. The next one is Veil Light, which is set in the eastern suburbs of Hobart, in a side of Hobart that we don't usually see. It's looking at the relationship between a young Aboriginal mother and her 8-year-old daughter and her unnerving next-door neighbour. So that's a little bit more of a supernatural horror, and that comes from Rob Braslin, who is a writer-director out of Hobart. The fourth film is by Perrin Bonser. He's out of WA, and that's called The Shore. And I like to call that a monster coming-of-age story. It's a very kind of neo-gothic, eerie and evocatively moody film.
And the fifth one you're about to talk about is my standout. It's my favourite of the whole one, and it's very tonally different from the other four you referred to.
Yes, so the fifth one is Killer Native, and that's from Bjorn Stewart, who is a writer, director, and actor. And he's I met Bjorn on Black Comedy. We worked on Black Comedy a few years back together, and we've worked together quite a lot. But Killer Native is something else. It's a zombie splatterfest homage to grindhouse comedy with some really kind of twisted satire. It's mental is the only way I can describe it, but it was a lot of fun to do. There's some standout performances in that from Clarence Ryan, Lily Sullivan, and Charlie Garber. And of course, there's a nice surprising breakout performance from Natasha Wenganin as well.
Yeah, this was nuts in all the best possible ways, and I love that the other ones were very focused on traditional horror, but this blended really strong elements of horror and comedy. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious as to, we're seeing sometimes, occasionally, horror comedy, some work, some don't. I think this did work. How do you feel that this filmmaker, and that generally the approach, where including comedy in horror, can enliven mm-hmm. a horror film?
It was interesting, actually. The process of developing Killer Native was actually quite easy. I know that sounds really strange because script development can take years. But Bjorn had this idea from a very young age, and he had a very singular vision, and he basically delivered an extraordinary script at second draft stage, which is you never hear of that. It's quite strange. That's pretty much what you're seeing on camera. It was very, very well conceived from a very, very early stage of in development. It was very, very well realised. The comedy and the horror, it was actually quite difficult to kind of blend. So it was actually interesting because obviously with comedy it's very subjective and some people find certain things funny and other people find something really quite offensive. So it was about finding that balance. And I think what really helped with Bjorn's take on this kind of splatterfest kind of zombie horror was the thing that really helped bring it together, I think, was the helping hand of Colin and Cameron Cairns, who have done this in spades in 100 Bloody Acres and Scare Campaign. They've done this before, so they were able to kind of, I guess, give both Bjorn and myself the backing to say, you know what, just go for it and be uncompromising with the ridiculousness and just kind of luxuriate in it. So that's what we did.
Well, I'm really glad they went for it. Now, as you said earlier, this film deals with a number of issues with regards to members of the Indigenous community in Australia, a number of very strong themes, and certainly has been heralded by Indigenous filmmakers. What do you think are some of the major issues, whether it be the horror comedy or the more serious ones that preceded it? What do you believe are some of the issues that these films, or the films together as an anthology, highlight?
Well, that's a good question. I think each film has a different kind of slant on what it means to be a blackfella in Australia. So Cody's experience as an Aboriginal woman is very different to the other, you know, filmmakers who are all men. So her take is actually it's actually really unsettling in Scout. For me, it's by far a really, really unsettling film, and I have a lot of trouble watching it. It's very visceral. And so her take is really quite interesting in knowing how Aboriginal women, I think, see themselves in Australian society and how they think that other people see them. So it's actually quite, it's very alarming to watch for me, very unsettling. The other films, I think, you know, just kind of touch on, you know, the role of Aboriginal people in society. And, you know, there's whether it's I think with Killer Native, there's absolutely a sense that, you know, the burden of history is something that we should all be kind of terrified by, and it is probably the greatest tragedy. Colonisation of Australia is probably the biggest tragedy that's ever happened to Aboriginal people in a lot of ways. But it's also got an element of kind of no one wins in colonisation. The blackfellas don't win, the whitefellas don't win. We're all kind of pretty much screwed because of it, unless we deal with it. So I think that that's a really strong message that comes through in Killer Native. In Foe, it's very much about the internal kind of dialogue that a lot of Aboriginal people have when they're away from community, when they're in the cities and have to live and exist outside of their normal social structures and what can happen. When that isolation happens, you know, Liam's really captured that really beautifully in Info. The Shore, I think that just is a kind of it exists as a more of a, you know, I think a parable about how certain people can demonize, you know, a different group of people without really acknowledging that they are also the same as us as well, but in a very, you know, clever way. I think Perrin's done a really good job of that. Whereas Veil Light, I like to call it when allies go feral, because I feel like the next door neighbour of the young Aboriginal family comes across as someone who's going to be, you know, a helping hand, but is actually could be quite, well, in the end, can be quite devilish, if you like.
Now, it is having its Australian premiere, its world premiere, at the Sydney Film Festival. Are you excited to present Dark Place along with the filmmakers to its first and many successive audiences, because it's screening a few times throughout the festival?
I'm super excited to be screening Dark Place at Sydney Film Festival and to be premiering it with the five writer-directors. I think it's been a long process for them, and it's been a long process for myself and my producing partner, Hayley Johnson. So it's exciting to put it in front of people's eyes to see what the response is. We've had a lot of great press, which is always helpful, but, you know, getting an audience in there and getting the punters looking at it is always a different kettle of fish at times. So I just hope that they enjoy the point of view that these filmmakers have, because they are very unique. They're looking at horror genre in a very different way, and that to me is what's exciting.
And I'm certainly excited to see your audience reaction. Akhjit, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Glenn.